Chapter 47. The two sections the hapless ship's captain had chosen to scuttle, rather than allow to be captured, had apparently possessed some sort of automatic safeties that kicked in when they neared the planet's surface. Their rapid descent had not been fully arrested, but the impact had lessened enough that whatever protective shielding had turned on somehow managed to keep the structures largely intact. The only problem was, they had buried themselves deep under the loamy soil when they crashed. Unlike the hard pack Charlie's ship had encountered, causing a long slide as it gouged the surface, this world was softer in that regard. As a result, the speed and angle of approach turned out to be just right for the craft to burrow like a tick on a dog. Only, unlike a tick, this time the entire body was underground.
"Okay, you know what the captain expects of you all. Get digging," Marbon said to his crew of prisoners as they disembarked the shuttle.
He and Charlie surveyed the crash site as the men labored below. It was going to be a long day. "That thing plowed in there good," he noted.
"Yeah, that it did," Marbon said with a little laugh. "On the bright side, that means we'll have an extended bit of fresh air down here on the surface, right?"
"But won't Captain Saruman be a bit anxious for us to get back with our salvage?"
"He will be, but the captain and I have a history. Been with him a long time now, and he knows how I love the more quiet worlds."
"And just look at this," he said, gesturing to the vast expanse of utterly quiet forests and fields.
"And better yet, once they dig their way underground, even the sounds of their labor will be out of earshot."
Charlie looked at his unlikely friend with amusement and a bit of wonder. Marbon looked the part of a rough and tough pirate, but there was an underlying tranquility the others seemed to lack. Whatever his past life had been, he was definitely far more than merely a thuggish pirate, despite his scarred and rugged exterior. "You think we'll find any survivors in there?"
"Nah, not a chance, little brother."
"But the ship seemed pretty intact. Maybe."
"Trust me on this one. I've seen this sort of thing before. And believe me, it's not pretty. The ship was scuttled, which means violent decompression. Now sure, maybe some were in sealed compartments away from the breach. But then you have a mostly unshielded atmospheric entry, the temperatures of which would fry most beings, powered or not."
"It must be horrible."
"To say the least. Now suppose those poor souls somehow survived both of those things. Unlikely, but for the sake of argument, let's just say they did. Well, these two segments here were not individually powered by Drooks, which means what slowed their impact was an embedded safety spell, likely put in place by either the ship's designer or the party paying for the cargo being transported. In either case, the concern was preserving the ship and its contents, not the crew.
So the deceleration would have crushed them to death well before they impacted the surface.
All protective spells target the ship's hull and the cargo. Anyone unfortunate enough to be rattling around inside would be on their own."
Marbon fell silent as he watched the workers below. The only sound in the air was that of the constant digging and a faint wind rustling the leaves of the nearby trees. Despite the horrific details he'd just heard of the crew and his fellow pirates' deaths, Charlie couldn't help but feel some of the stress of captivity seeping out of his body. He took a deep breath, then another.
"That's the way," Marbon said with a tranquil smile. "We have to enjoy these moments of tranquility when we can. It's a nice respite from the cacophony of our daily life."
"You really are surprising," Charlie said. "And I mean that in a good way."
"Thank you, little brother, as are you. And though I'm sorry for the manner in which you came to join our little group, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't glad for it."
The two men took a seat and watched the prisoners labor in the sun. The system possessed a yellow dwarf star, and the intensity of the sunlight was relatively mild. If not for the gray complexion of the man next to him, or the far more alien-looking aliens laboring in the dirt, Charlie could almost have felt like he was on a picnic back home. "You know, this would be so much faster if we had our survey mech," Charlie said, after watching the work for a while.
"Survey mech? What manner of thing is that?"
"Wow, how to explain? I guess calling it a giant robot wouldn't help."
"What is a robot?"
"Yeah, exactly my point. Let's just say it's a big metal thing, as tall as those trees over there, that's in the rough shape of a man.
A statue, you mean? Yes, I've seen many of them at the estates of powerful Vislas, usually tributes given to them by those within the systems under their rule.
No, not a statue. A mech moves.
Moving statues? I've never heard of this magic.
It's not magic, Marbon. It's technology. A combination of hydraulics and gearing, all linked together by a bunch of solid-state components and heavily shielded wiring.
Your words make no sense, Charlie. This technology magic that moves statues.
Not magic, just tech. It's a power system that runs off a battery charge. We were actually working on developing a fusion-based power cell, but that's years from even being tested. Too hard to make them small enough, you see. That kind of power system is pretty much reserved for full-size ships and whatnot.
So you say it is power?
Not like you mean. Not your people's magic stuff. And I still don't know why this translation thingy always uses that word. It's maddening.
Magic is magic. I don't see the problem.
Well, anyway, our mech is designed for hard work on Mars. That's where it was meant for. It's a planet with an unbreathable atmosphere. We're talking like 96% carbon dioxide, plus some pretty drastic temperature and weather conditions.
Carbon dioxide?
A gas. It's what we're exhaling.
Ah, I see.
So the mech, it has tools built into its arms. Digging implements, drilling augers, things to move a lot of dirt and soil if needed. If we had that with us, we'd have those access ports uncovered in no time. Marbon laughed merrily.
Little brother, you have the most amusing stories. Metal men as tall as a tree, moving by tech magic. Such a vivid imagination. It would be a marvel to see if only such a creation actually existed.
Just because you haven't seen one doesn't mean it's not real.
A valid point, Charlie. But in absence of proof, I shall remain skeptical.
The better part of several hours passed before the prisoners finally reached a functional access way into the buried sections of the scuttled ship. Marbon rose to his feet, stretching and cracking his back.
Well done. Get yourself some water, then join us inside. Whatever is left to salvage will need to be transferred to our shuttle, he said to the sweat and dirt-covered men. You ready to take a look? He asked Charlie.
Might as well get it over with, he replied, not anxious to dig through more death and dismemberment. They descended into the wreck, and amazingly enough, the lights were still functional.
Part of the designer's features, Marbon explained, not dependent on the rest of the ship's functionality. It'll likely still be illuminated long after we're done with it.
The angle of descent into the craft was somewhat close to level, but still rather steep. But that was to be expected, given the way it had come to rest there in the first place. Carefully, the two pirates climbed through the outermost wreckage, making their way into the internal cargo hold. As Marbon had foretold, drying red stained the walls where unsecured crew had been flung into them during the crash. It was a telling crimson confirmation that there would be no survivors.
Now that's going to make the captain happy, the scarred pirate said when they finally reached the innermost stowage area. Nice and safe, and all intact.
What is it all?
Not a clue, Marbon said. But so long as we bring the containers to the ship in one piece, that's enough to put him in good spirits. He always enjoys the opening part, finding out what exactly we captured. I mean, we know the basics of most shipments from the records, but there are always surprises.
And what kid doesn't like surprises, Charlie said. It's like Christmas, but in space. And with blood and pirates and aliens, he smiled to himself. Okay, maybe not that much like Christmas, but still.
Christmas?
I'll explain it later, he replied with a chuckle.
Shall we? Let's get to it.
The labor team was called in and joined them a few minutes later to begin the long process of hauling the cargo to the surface and back to their shuttle.
Shall we go deeper and see what's in the other section?
Lead the way, Charlie said, as a pair of pirate spelunkers ventured farther into the metal cave.